was on. Everything. Everything was on. Me and Freddy, on. Our new horror-only streaming service, on. Anyways, tonight was gonna be all of my favorite things. Horror movies, check. Steamy makeouts, double check. My new dude loves horror flicks as much as I do. He might actually love them more than me, which is saying something. I've got the Scream mask tattooed on the back of my shoulder. My new guy Freddy, he's named after Freddy Krueger. It's literally in his blood. We're a match made in hell. Fictional brutality is our aphrodisiac, and tonight is our horror holiday. The streaming service is called Creeper, launched last month. I'd been tracking it for a year, ever since Brandon Cloud, the big tech guy, said he was developing a streamer for horror buffs like himself. It's still totally under the radar, which is both disgusting and awesome, because it hasn't been ruined yet from blowing up or having too many tools in the kitchen. Part of that is because lots of people hate Brandon Cloud for making Face Fear. This VR system that lets you face your worst fears, it made like a gajillion dollars and probably ruined an entire generation of children, but it's pretty sick if you know how to use it right. Plus, I don't care who you are, as long as you know how to curate the right horror movie selection. This weekend is when Creeper's free month-long trial ends. That means they're gonna try to make sure everyone keeps it past the trial date. Me and Freddy have been salivating all week, waiting to see what movie they release on Thursday. That's the day new horror movies drop. Getting a jump on the weekend. Savvy. You know it's gonna be great, because Creeper wants to keep all those juicy subscribers. Make him pay. Literally. More importantly, Brandon Cloud wants to win the streaming war to end all streaming wars. You know how those tech guys are. It's the world's biggest pissing contest. The horror industry is the only genre that seems to be gaining strength as time goes on, so Brandon Cloud is going to use his Face Fear app to give him credibility. It worked. All those other big wigs, Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg, they're up in the clouds. The one guy who wants to be on the ground with us, ironically, is named Cloud. Freddy was coming over at 6. We were gonna order takeout early. That way we could dive into the new horror movie ASAP. Freddy loved this idea because the earlier everything started, the earlier he'd get lucky. He knows damn well there's not gonna be any funny business until after the film ends. We both respect film enough that bumping our bodies together can wait for the credits to roll. Plus, all those scares are great for the libido. Comfort becomes part of the equation, which is a hot ingredient when it comes down to getting down. I've never gotten horny watching a rom-com. I guess that's why they call it Netflix and chill. Netflix makes movies that suck because they know if the movie sucks, people will be able to make a move sooner. There's no hesitation based on the quality of the film. Savvy, but in a lame, capitalistic way. Unlike Creeper, which puts the fright first, sexy time second. Freddy knocked at 5:58. We haven't done the deed yet, but we both know that tonight is the night. Freddy's a good guy. Most horror fans are. It's funny how the depraved movie genre tends to churn out the most sweethearts. Not to toot my own horn, but I look great. Relaxed, but great. Keep it simple. Jeans and a tight white t-shirt. Classic. Freddy is wearing something rather similar, and we laugh at this and tuck it away as further proof that we might be right together. You want to go light for the pre-get-down meal. Sushi is optimal. It's filling enough for sustenance without inviting bloated stomachs to be the third wheel. My apartment's tiny, but at least it's all mine. Lorne Michaels had this great quote, "If you're gonna be in show business, live slightly better than you can afford." I love that. I can barely afford my rent, but it makes me work harder. It feeds gas into my engine to ensure I can keep this place. Also, I'm hardly in show business, but Lauren did say, "If you're going to be in show business," and that doesn't seem like an accident. Me and Freddy met at a party that we were invited to by mutual friends. I was wearing a t-shirt with Christina Ricci's face on it. Wednesday era Christina Ricci. Freddie was smitten. He said he appreciated the throwback. I appreciated his appreciation. We made out on the stoop 3 hours later. I initiated the kiss. I'd never done that before. I felt so safe with Freddie, I didn't even have to think about it. He's shy. That's cute. I've never been with a shy guy before. That was 3 weeks ago. This is our fourth hang. There's not a science to this, but it feels right. Tonight being the night. If this new Creeper movie rocks, that would be a big cherry on this Thursday Sunday. Sushi was currently being shared as we discussed plans for the weekend. Freddie said he discovered a new place to go hiking. I discovered a new place for karaoke. We were stretching our boundaries. I would hike and he would sing. Activities neither of us would have done without that gentle push from the other. It also meant to imply dates. Our aspirations were similar. I wanted to be a singer. Freddie wanted to be a cameraman, director of photography, cinematographer. He'd referred to it as all three at different points, even though they all mean the same thing. There was only one movie in both of our top 10 horror films. Jacob's Ladder, 1990. Tim Robbins. It's disturbing in the most glorious way. I'll say no more. I respect it too much. Yeah, the first kiss was nice, but Freddie telling me he loved Jacob's Ladder? Swoon City. I haven't waited in the past for the fourth date to let it happen. And being specific about that choice of words, let it happen. One time, it was guilt, because he said his friends had gotten laid already from their girlfriends. Another time, I was too drunk and just wanted to get it over with. That other time was the worst. I didn't even like him. I just did it because my ex had cheated on me, so I thought this guy might make me feel better. But he didn't. Freddie will. He was the opposite of all those guys. He had a warmth. He felt like home. It was almost 7 p.m. That's when the movie would be available on Creeper's homepage. Talk about scintillating. We were counting down as if it were New Year's. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No way. We were frozen. This had to be a prank. The movie on the homepage of Creeper was sleep tight. My thumb trembled as I clicked play. There were several seconds of black, and then an image of a child's face being slowly stretched apart. I paused it immediately. I was not prepared for this. Neither was Freddy. The lore around Sleep Tight was epic. Basically, this film had gotten all this crazy buzz online. That's nothing new, right? Then, when they showed the film for a bunch of critics, one of them died. During the screening. A famous critic, too. I mean, as famous as a critic can be, I guess. But the dude died. That is crazy. Sleep Tight immediately became the obsession of every horror fan. The movie was so scary that it had literally killed someone. As if that wasn't sick by itself, the head of the studio who produced it, Miranda Silver, who was basically the Spielberg of horror movies, she decides to shelf it. There's these quotes online where she's saying that it should not be seen by anyone, which only makes everyone want to see it more. You couldn't have dreamed for a way to build better buzz. Horror fans were fiending. Fiending. As far as anyone knew, this horror movie would never see the light of day, and all of us horror nerds would have to spend the rest of our lives dreaming of what it could have been. And now? It was here. On my TV screen. How is this possible? Why wouldn't they promote it? Not even a blurb, nothing. Did Brandon Cloud make Miranda Silver an offer she couldn't refuse? He must have. He has God-tier money. This is the perfect way for him to make a splash. Break the internet by dropping the most anticipated horror film of the past decade. I was still holding the remote, aimed right at the TV. Me and Freddy looked at each other. I asked him, "Are we doing this?" His response was a very slow nod. "All right," I told him. "Try not to die." We started from the beginning, even though we hadn't started. My volume was at a 30. The highest it had ever been was a 25 when me and Freddy watched Barbarian, because we both believe Zach Kroeger is a genius. Sleep Tight was at a 30. Neighbors might be alarmed. This was worth an eviction. The opening shot of this little girl's face slowly stretching. There was no music. There was no sound at all. Within 5 seconds, I had forgotten where I was. I imagine Freddy had similar emotions. Normally, when watching a movie together, he'll shuffle periodically. And I take this as a compliment, knowing that he's trying to hide his, shall we say, excitement over the reality that he's on my couch and I'm wearing sexy sweats. Expectations can be a real son of a gun. Sometimes they're too high, impossibly high, because it doesn't elevate to the quality set forth in your mind. You bemoan it as a failure. Other times, expectations are too low. You walk away, pleasantly surprised. It's heartbreakingly rare these days to enter a movie experience in which you simply give yourself over to the film without any preconceived notions or expectations. Sleep Tight was in the former camp. Me, Freddy, the internet, horror fans across the land had been worshiping at this film's altar ever since that first report of crew members going crazy on set. Everyone knew the real-life story that it was based on. This guy in Wyoming, family man, beloved in his hometown, he listens to this podcast story called Sleep Tight and it makes him go crazy. He kills his own family, and what happened to the family is awful, but as far as the movie plot goes, there's nothing very novel about it, which only added to the lore. The premise felt generic, so what was it exactly about the viewing of this film that made people, dare I say, insane? A possibility flashed to my mind that this was not that film, that it had been neutered. Whatever that original version had that seemed to defy all logic and literally scare someone to death had been removed. That was the only way it could be shown here on the streaming service. Because if it truly was that scary, they wouldn't release it, right? Ranting Cloud wouldn't want people to die. Although, if a couple did die, that would be great publicity. Oh god. Oh my god. I broke the rules. I talked. This entire time, I've been talking out loud to Freddy, telling him my questions and theories. I turn to him and I say, "I'm so sorry." It takes me a second to realize that I am standing. Freddy is not on the couch. He's on the floor. He's not moving. I'm holding a knife. A large one. The largest knife I own. The one I only use when cutting bread that should have been thrown out the day before. Freddy is lying in something. His own blood. There are multiple stab wounds in his chest, in his legs. There is a massive opening across his neck. His pool of blood stretches from the couch all the way to my wall where the TV hangs. I drop the knife as my body drops to the floor. I'm checking his body for a sign, a pulse, something to tell me that he's alive. And I find no such thing. I turn to my TV. Sleep Tight has ended. I am now a horror story. The horror fanatic who murdered her horror fanatic boyfriend while watching a horror movie. I plead my innocence to the police as my sister waits outside the interrogation room. I tell them what happened. We started watching this movie. I blacked out. When I came to, Freddy was dead. There is no escape. My fingerprints are all over the knife. There's no signs of struggle. Freddy is a beloved young man in his hometown in his new city. As was I, until last night. Now I'm a national story. There is not a horror fan alive who does not know my name. My lawyer is telling me to plead insanity. I can't wrap my head around any of it. None of it will ever be real. They're planning to do neurological and psychological tests. They, along with my family, are desperate to find an answer. A cause. A solution. Something to plausibly explain how this could have happened. My lawyer is resilient. He zeroes in on the movie. Sleep tight. At what point in the movie did Freddy attack me? I reiterate for what feels like the 100th time, Freddy did not attack me. I remember nothing from the movie other than that opening shot. That little girl's face, slowly stretching apart. Cut to black. And not black, per se, it was more like seen missing. No, that's not right either. Movie missing. The movie was ending when I had come back to life. The movie was ending when I had taken Freddy's life. I am now the main character of a national discourse. Have horror movies gone too far? Who's to blame for this? How do we solve this mental illness crisis? Everyone from every side is throwing blame to the other team. Nobody accepts responsibility. I am the beginning of a conversation about how now is the time to have a conversation. I detested these pop culture moments growing up. It was never about the art. Art is meant to push us, expand our minds. Art sparks communication. It exists to bring us closer by telling us that we are all in this together. We are all connected by the things we do not understand, such as this. Why did this nice girl murder this nice guy? Everyone has questions. I have no answers. There is a flash of a headline I see in the corner of my eye that Netflix wants to make a movie about my life. It hasn't even been a full day yet, and already they're planning to capitalize on the end of Freddy's life. My lawyer does not brush this off. He explains that entertainment companies have lots of money, lots of power, lots of connections. They will most likely make an offer for the rights to my life. I replay those words in my head over and over and over again. Rights to my life? For a brief moment while being transferred, I cross paths with another inmate. I do not catch their name, but they seem familiar. Something about their face. They appear seemingly out of thin air. I haven't seen them again since this moment. I'm unable to confirm with anyone else I'm in contact with as to who this person was. Our time together was brief, but they asked me something. A question that lingers in my head until I am alone. It is now the only thing I can think about. I obsess over the stranger's question. It seems to encapsulate the madness of my situation better than anything else ever could. The question they asked was,
"Have you heard about Tuck?"